following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Mother's Day is this Sunday. ProFlowers has one dozen rainbow roses for $19.99. Double the roses and get chocolates and a free glass vase for just $29.98. That's 50% off. You just need the code SCORE when you order to get these special prices. Here's the only way to get this amazing Mother's Day deal. Go to ProFlowers.com, click on the microphone in the top right corner, and type in SCORE. That's ProFlowers.com. Click on the microphone and type in SCORE. Order now. This offer expires soon, so order today. ProFlowers.com. Type in code SCORE.
Listen up, my friends. This commercial's got some real stopping power. This May, NAPA is offering up to a $50 mail-in rebate card with a purchase of qualifying brake products. NAPA brakes are built to the highest quality standards and designed to improve stopping in all conditions, so you can stop on a dime, rain or shine. So hurry, or should I say stop, into your local NAPA Auto Parts store or Auto Care Center. Visit NAPA online for details. Offer expires 531.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN to ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg. Steve Sippel, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated. Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev. Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who will be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And a good Wednesday morning here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Randy Bushcutter, Doug Duda with you here as we're kind of dividing and conquering a little bit. We got a full show for you. We're taking a look at state soccer, and obviously we'll be talking a little bit about high school track as well as the district track season underway, which is why Doug Duda is not here in the studios. He is out in Loup City as the Suns begin to warm up a little bit. Doug, good morning to you.
Hey, great to be on the road at that time of the season where, you know, I think we can chalk it up to a perfect day for the Class A and D schools that are going to be competing in track today, and maybe a tad windier tomorrow, but it looks like for as bad as the weather has been for these kids, they're actually going to have two good days to compete in district track and try and get to Omaha next week.
And we've been talking to a lot of coaches, and I think some of their biggest concerns is just how this is kind of thrown off their training schedule in terms of getting here. But now they're here. You don't have a choice but to have this be kind of the peak of where you want to be. That's the goal, but it really is kind of thrown off the timing throughout the course of the year. Teams getting ready for the district meet and obviously hoping to make it into state. So at least the weather for when they get to compete is going to be pretty reasonable today and tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. And I think the one thing, and none of the coaches have really said this, but I think you're going to see kind of like we've seen in almost the team sports, every team sport, we've talked about this throughout the year here, Randy. I think you're going to see a big drop off kind of in the middle. I think this weather really hurts your young kids, the kids that are developing. Let's face it, if you're a Riley Lambrecht here at Loup City or a Kalen Brannigan at Kearney Catholic or the numerous boys at Kearney High, and you can go on and on and on, when their season is track, and that's what they've been getting ready for a year, it's not like they just started to get ready when the winter sports season got over. They're going to be where they need to be, even if they didn't have the competitions that they wanted. I think their marks, you know, we may see some vast improvement today, or you may see the vast improvement between district and state. But talking with some of the coaches like Dave Gee at Northwest before the Central Nebraska Track Championships, he says, I think we're going to be where we need to be if the weather improves, which it looks like it will. So I just think those kids that you expect to do well here at the districts are going to do well, and they're going to put up the distances and the times. But then you may see, when you look down at fifth, sixth, a significant drop-off for the younger kids that are trying to make their mark here on the track.
I would agree, and I think part of that you might be kind of whether or not you're lucky enough to have the storm miss you and you got an extra day of training here and there, or those that really kind of show that extra dedication of maybe we didn't have practice, but it cleared up later in the day, and you went out and ran on your own. I think it opens the door for some of those young kids who really want to excel. It opens the door for them because it hasn't been the traditional development for a lot of these track athletes, and even in the team sports like soccer as well. You have to kind of take it on yourself sometimes to make those improvements if you're a young player trying to get better. But you're right. The elite are still going to be the elite, and they're going to hit their marks.
Well, A&D going on today, and we'll be here at the D7. I'll be giving reports here on the show and on the sports this afternoon, but we will have updates twice an hour on our sister station, Classic Hits 98.9. Mike Will and the gang are going to be down the road at Kennesaw for the D5 meet. All the schools in that district are east of Kennesaw, so Kennesaw, the westernmost team in that district. So you can hear that on 1230 KHAS. Some of the teams kind of to our southwest, like in Elwood, Loomis, and Axtell, they're going down to Cambridge today for the D8. In Class A, Kearney and Grand Island are headed up to Norfolk today. They're both in the A2, and Hastings High is off to Omaha. They'll be at Buell Stadium at Millard South for the A4. Then tomorrow, B and C takes place, and we go from the northern portion of our listening area to the southern portion. We'll be down at Southern Valley for the C10 district meet, which is going on tomorrow. And I guess just to further that a little bit, we had Coach Paul Henry on the show yesterday, talked to him about this D7 track meet. All the field events are going on at this hour. The girls' pole vault was the first event to finish up. And as he said, they just had a handful in there. Elm Creek going 1-2. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But they're going to finish all the field events, and then the running events will begin at 12:30 this afternoon with the 3,200 relay, and they'll breeze right through that. Usually the district track meets that start with 12:30 running events are done by 5 o'clock. And the weather, as we mentioned, it's still very cloudy here, but it's going to burn off. We've got districts going on in Broken Bow, districts here, as we said, Cambridge, Kennesaw in Class D. So that's all going on. But, Randy, one of your favorite sports as well is trying to put something in a net. You love hockey, you like soccer, and Grand Island is able to avenge last year's state tournament loss by really controlling Papillion La Vista South this morning, 3-1. It was 1-0 at halftime. It stayed that way most of the second half. Grand Island got a couple of goals in the last 20 minutes to go up 3-0. South got the last one, but Grand Island remains undefeated and moves to Friday night's semifinals.
And for everything I was able to kind of see and following along a little bit this morning, Grand Island kind of really dominated play in the first half, but only had one goal to show for it after a real nice play. And then there was a stretch there where Papio South kind of had a nice series, had some good looks, a few misses. Then Grand Island gets another goal to go up 2-0, and that just changes the dynamic a little bit. You got to go all out at that point if you're Papillion La Vista South. And I think that opened them up for a counterattack. Grand Island went up 3-1, and then after that, it was just kind of hold on to the horse until the end of the horn there a little bit. Make sure you don't get bucked off. And Grand Island doing what they do. They've been able to kind of control the pace with most of the teams that they've been able to play, and they win it 3-1. This is only, I think, their fifth win on the road. I mean, much of their schedule this year has been at in Grand Island. Fifth win against a team with a winning record. Let me correct that. But all you can do is beat every team that you play. That's all you can do is beat every team that you play, and that's exactly what Grand Island has done. They moved to 15-0 on the season. Next up for them will be either Creighton Prep or Lincoln Pius the 10th. Most people think that Prep, Grand Island, and Omaha South are the three teams to beat. So Grand Island has made it to that next step and probably will be taking on Prep, but that game just getting underway over at the University of at Creighton University. A great field to go to. It's always fun to go to state meets, state tournaments, going to that state environment. And if you've never been to state soccer, that is a beautiful place to watch a sporting event. The people that are there are very passionate, and it is one of those things that if you get a chance to go, you should go once. Even if you're not a great soccer fan, that environment that they have there at Creighton is going to be pretty nice, and they're hoping that they can stay dry. There's some rain in the area, but it all seems like it's moving to a little bit north. And I feel like a weatherman anytime we talk about spring sports this year because weather has been a factor in almost everything we've talked about.
Well, Grand Island will advance to the state semifinals Friday night at 6 o'clock. Kearney High plays later this afternoon at 3. They try to avenge an earlier loss this year to a Millard West, a rematch of the 2009 state championship game, which was obviously the heartbreaker for Kearney when West scored with 2 seconds to go to win the state championship. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk a little soccer with Mike Nanfito. He's the head boys coach at Hastings. And then we're going to talk girls Hastings tomorrow on the show with Coach Pedroza. Hastings boys play tomorrow night at 6. We're also going to talk with UNK football coach Daryl Morris on our Loper Link. Last night was their fourth annual football backers banquet. Again, well attended at the Eunice Center and Holiday Inn in Kearney. And well done by all of those that worked that. It's funny because I know some of the coaches right after that, they're on the road today, out recruiting, out of town, out of state, trying to continue to build. And they'll be able to say, hey, look what we did last night. Look what we did on Tuesday. This is what we're doing at UNK to continue to build our program. And momentarily, Josh Howgie, the Tri-City Storm head coach and general manager, will join us. He was on Monday to preview the draft. And Randy, now it's in the books. And yesterday, I think they took care of a couple of needs by going strong at goaltender. And something that I think maybe has happened quicker than I thought it would, a Nebraska native will actually go to camp with the Tri-City Storm this year with their first pick last night.
Well, actually, there were two Nebraskans selected in the first round, one of those going to the Tri-City Storm, and kind enough to join us to talk about that is the head coach and general manager of the Tri-City Storm, Josh Howgie. Coach, first of all, thanks for joining us a little bit. Talk a little bit about your first-round pick. We got an Omaha boy that's going to be playing here in the Tri-Cities.
Yeah, it's great for us. I mean, Chris Wilkie's a tremendous talent. Last year, he played for the U.S. National Program, was the third leading scorer on that team. Felt that was in his best interest to leave, and you know, we had a couple meetings with him, sat down, and at the end of the day, this is the pick the spot he wanted to play at. He's going to come in and, you know, add a lot of energy, plays physical, and can definitely score goals.
Josh, I want to take it another level here because I've been one of those guys that years ago, and Randy's boy has played junior hockey and little kids hockey, if I'm not saying the right term here. I didn't know how long it would take a Nebraska native to maybe be able to take that step. And not being from Nebraska, only really being here for less than 3 years, how do you find out if that kid has enough, I guess, pedigree behind him to be worthy to move on to that next level?
Well, you know, these guys get chances to go and play at, you know, select festivals, and there's different situations that the guys can do. You know, we had some local kids that we worked with here, you know, just when the season was ending up, that we let them come out and skate with us just to see how they could do and, you know, give them that opportunity. But, you know, for the most part, these guys, you know, get chances to show what they can do at those festivals in different areas. And, you know, the Nebraska kids are definitely taking steps in the right direction.
Wilkie played the U.S. National Development Team, had 56 game appearances, scored 31 points. He had 13 goals, 18 assists. He's about 5'10", probably not the most physical forward you're ever going to see. Is it mostly developed on his speed and his skill with handling the puck that makes him such a dangerous player?
Yeah, and he's relentless on pucks. Like, I mean, you know, he might not be the biggest guy, but he plays extremely hard, and, you know, he'll go into a corner with, you know, another guy, and he'll find a way to come out with the puck. And I think that's the thing that we want to be, is tougher to play against. And he's a guy that fits the mold. And again, he can play up tempo fast, and that's how we're going to build this hockey team.
Josh Howgie, head coach, general manager of the Tri-City Storm, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you on this Wednesday edition. We'll get to what happened with the draft on Monday, because as we've talked about, and we talked with Coach on Monday, they're different drafts, but you go and you get 25, if I've got this right, there's 25 rounds. You were just under that as far as number of selections last night. If I read all the Facebook posts from Todd Gatula correctly, you guys were working actually on the draft for upwards of 7 hours, and you picked 3 goalies. You didn't get any goalies on Monday. So where are you at goaltender situation, and how soon can any of these kids possibly help you?
Well, a little bit different situations for the first two and then the third one that we took. You know, Hayden Levine for us, with the goaltender we took in the third round, he's a 6'3" kid, 190 pounds, moves extremely well. Actually, last night after the draft, he committed to the University of Michigan. So that just became public last night. he's going to be a big-time goaltender. He's going to have a chance to play in the National Hockey League someday. He's got a ton of potential, and he's, you know, he's extremely, like, we're just extremely excited to get him. Brock Kautz, he's played 3 years of junior hockey, so he's been around a lot. He knows what it takes, and he's going to come in and, you know, try to compete for that starting job with, you know, Justin Qualley and Hayden Levine. And then different situation with the third goalie we took. You know, he's a 97 birth year. It's going to take some time for him. He's going to go onto our affiliate list. He'll come into our tryout camp and just do it for the experience. But he's a goaltender that, you know, probably won't be here for 2 years.
To me, it's kind of interesting because, in a way, you can kind of outkick your coverage a little bit. You draft really skilled, athletic players. They may very well end up, for whatever reason, being at North Dakota or Michigan next year. What are the odds that all these folks that you've drafted, all of them, will be here next year?
Well, you look at a kid we took with Jed Soloway in, I think, like the 15th or 16th round. He's committed to Wisconsin, and there's a very good chance he's gonna be there. But, you know, they still have to, you know, guys have to still get through the NCAA clearinghouse, and there's some hiccups there. So, you know, we spoke with Wisconsin. They said, hey, like, there's a chance you might not get in. So that pick's a flyer. You know, if you get him, he's going to come in and be a top player for you. But if not, he's going to go to University of Wisconsin. And, you know, you wish him nothing but the best. But with having 45 picks, you know, you have the liberty to take some chances and swing for the fences.
Josh Howgie with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, talking Storm hockey with the USHL draft. It was different this year, Josh. Usually we had 3 weeks, a month between what was so-called the futures draft and the actual draft. Did that change strategy this week when you were right back on the horse last night?
Well, I think that we were just a lot more familiar with the 97 birth year kids that we didn't take the day before. So you knew the guys you wanted to get, and it was right, you know, fresh in your head. But I think your attention to detail and your preparation had to be much more in line, just because it was a lot. And you know, you go 3 hours the first night, and then you come back, and you know, 7 hours, and those last couple hours, I mean, it gets long.
I thought it was kind of interesting. Not only did you pick up two goalies, one in the third round, one in the fifth round, but these are pretty good-sized kids. You picked up a 6'2 goalie, a 6'1 goalie, a little bit different style of goaltender when you kind of have that physicality to you.
Yeah, and it was funny because Hayden said, hey, you guys got to get corrected, coach. I'm 6'3", so he is correcting us already on that one. But, you know, it's nice to have those, you know, big body goaltenders that just take up a little bit more space. And, you know, if they're just a little bit bigger, sometimes they get hit with a puck that a smaller goalie won't. So, but they both are athletic, which I like. And I think that they both have played junior hockey. So they're experienced, and they're, you know, they're ready to come in and play.
Last minute here with Josh Howgie. Let's talk about Monday, which maybe is more for the fans, the general fans' knowledge, the bulk of what you're looking to bring in for kids next year. You'd already had Torrey Dello back in December commit, sign, if you will, with the Storm, and you pick up four forwards and three defensemen, starting with Matt Freitag out of Minnesota. Did you get what you wanted on Monday?
Well, with Matt Freitag there, like, there was – going into the draft, I thought there was zero chance he'd be available at the 10th pick overall. He was a guy that, to me, there were three Minnesota kids that were elite, and they were Tom Novak, who went number one, Brock Besser, who went number two, and Matt Freitag. So we kind of had penciled those three that they'd already be gone by the 10th spot, and when he was there, it was a no-brainer. We were going to take him, and he's just a natural goal scorer, a guy that can, like, He played for our combine team, and just a lot of fun to be around. Really enjoyed him, and I got a chance to really get to know him, which is extremely important when you're going to coach a guy. So we were fired up about that. And then Nolan Abel, who we got in the third round, he's committed to Yale, and he'll have a chance to make our hockey team this next season. So two forwards that are very talented, and really pleased to get them both.
Obviously, camp will answer a lot of these questions, but my question for you right now is, looking at the roster and the kids that you got coming back, the ones that you picked up in the last couple of days in the draft, what percentage are going to be these new faces, and what percentage do you think will be players that you had on your roster last year?
Well, you know, at the start of the year, guys like Joel Esperance, Garrett Gomez, those are going to be the guys that we're going to look to score for us right away and be leaders. And then on defense, Nolan Glukowski's, Garrett Sassiers. Those are the guys that are going to have to carry you right away. And we got a good core group of veterans coming back, but we're really excited about the guys we got. And I think that, you know, as we're trying to, I guess, you know, make put an identity on this hockey team and turn it into, I guess, the group that I want it to be, or that our staff wants it to be. I think it's starting to get there, and this draft is a big step in that direction.
Well, Coach, now hopefully a time to rest just a little bit, the season, the getting ready for it. And I guess one more question before we let you go, because we'll probably have a little break in talking with you. And in case I missed this on Monday, where are we with filling out the staff for the Storm?
Well, I was talking with some different people, and I think the big thing is I have two first-round picks right now, and I have to make them count. And we have to, make sure that we get two big-time coaches in here, that guys are going to develop our players and that are going to work hard for us. And I think that's going to happen here probably within the next month. The sooner the better, because we got a lot of work to do as far as tryout camps and just getting the guys different information, summer workout programs, and getting them into camps and different things that way. So it's going to get into full swing here right now. And I'd like to say we'll have that done within the month.
All right, Coach, thanks for the time, and best of luck. Enjoy your summer. We'll see you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Coach.
Josh Hougie, head coach, general manager, Tri-City Storm. That's a lot of guys. Again, with Josh only being here a couple of years with the Storm, Randy, that seems like even when we had 3 weeks in between, the Storm have like 30 guys. And again, you got to remember what they did yesterday. Most of those guys aren't supposed to be coming to the Storm in the next year. It's going to be a couple years, like he said, as they continue to get older, I guess. Instead of being 16, they'll be 17 and 18.
And there's a lot of different situations that can kind of happen. If somebody's planning on coming to the Storm, but they've already kind of committed to, Coach mentioned Wisconsin and North Dakota and Michigan, if somehow one of their other signees falls through in terms of being able to sign or gets injured or whatever, and then they might get a scholarship. So and the opposite might true. They might actually get signed somewhere. They find another player at some of those schools and forces out a kid that was planning on going to play Division I hockey. It'll force them back into Kearney. So there's so much fluidity in terms of who actually can play. That's one reason why they have 25 rounds, because you have to have a lot of names out there, because of just the nature of what they kind of change. Another thing I thought was really interesting, I mentioned it very, very briefly, there was a second Nebraska player that was drafted. The Indiana Ice drafted a goaltender out of Omaha, Jason Pawlowski, with the 13th pick overall in the draft. So the number two draft pick in the USHL draft and the number 13 pick were both a couple of Nebraska players. And it's kind of showing that after a long period of time, especially in Omaha, because A, they've got more numbers, and B, that program's been around much longer than it's been here in the Tri-Cities, you're starting to see some pretty good hockey players coming out of the state of Nebraska.
Well, we'll see how it all plays out, and as we continue here before we go to our break at the D7 District track meet at Loup City. You know, sometimes you come up and you go, okay, the press box is for football, and then we store all our stuff up here. So I'm here for track. They've got all their track stuff out for the medals and for the envelopes, as anybody that's ever been at a track meet knows how it works. But then down below, which I just thought was just a cooker down below here, just kind of being stored. No, they walk in and there's lunch. I can't believe I haven't already been into that, and it's not in the back of my vehicle right now.
You can't
hold
it all.
How did I overlook that?
You can't have it all. You can't hold it all.
They're just storing that down there, and all of a sudden, voila.
It's wafting.
Sloppy Joe's for later.
There you go. One last thing about the draft. It was interesting that one of the predominant players from the state of Minnesota a couple years ago was a forward by the name of Jack Jablonski. Jack Jablonski was checked from behind into the boards, was paralyzed late in 2011. He was drafted last night by the Chicago Steel in the final round. So that was just kind of, he always said that was his dream of getting drafted in the USHL or playing college hockey. So after that happened, he sent out a tweet last night simply saying, best night ever. So that was kind of a cool deal.
Yeah, it's always always neat when people get it. And so nice job by Chicago. Hey, we're here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth on the road today at Loup City. And want to thank all the fine folks here, as always, for their hospitality and helping us bring you results from the D7 track meet where the field events are going on. We'll update that in a little bit. But Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. Ran into Andy, Darren, and a bunch of the crew last night at the UNK football Loper Backer Banquet. And it's just what they continue to do. We talk so much about what goes on from, I would say, 9 to 5, but they work longer hours than that, 6-7 days a week at times. But what they do for the community, how they give back, you see their name associated with so many things right now in Kearney and the Tri-Cities, and they just are working all the time, whether selling a new car, a pre-owned vehicle, or out in the community sponsoring so many events. Midway is there for you. And right now, hail sale, a slight dusting of hail, but they've got some discounts that are substantial on many of the vehicles, so check them out. All new vehicle customers will receive rebates, Midway discount, and the hail discount, and of course, 1.9% financing for 72 months with approved credit on all new Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. No one else is doing it, just your Midway Auto Dealership. Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac. We'll talk with Loper football coach Daryl Morris when we come back on the Doug and Daddy Show.
I'm Doug Duda with the Sports Minute on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The Nebraska Danger continue their road swing by traveling to Green Bay to battle the blizzard on Friday night. The Nebraska baseball team travels to Minneapolis to take on Big Ten leading Minnesota starting Friday afternoon. The Nebraska softball team will host the Big Ten Championships beginning Thursday morning at 11:30. The Huskers' first game is Friday night at 7 against the Michigan State Purdue winner. The championship is set for Sunday. The Hastings College softball team begins play in the NAIA National Tournament on Monday. The State High School soccer tournament begins on Wednesday. Grand Island boys play Papillion-La Vista South at 9. Kearney plays Millard West at 3. On Thursday, Hastings and Gretna boys at 6. Lexington and South Sioux City at 8. And on Friday, the Class B girls, Holdridge and Omaha Scud at 1. Hastings and Columbus SCOTUS at 3. Class A and D district track meets are Wednesday, B and C on Thursday. And that's a Sports Minute on ESPN.
Mother's Day is this Sunday. Send the mom in your life delicious, freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries, starting at $19.99. These sweet berries are dipped in milk, white, and dark chocolatey topping, and covered with chocolate chips, crushed almonds, and a decorative swizzle. Plus, radio listeners can double the berries for just $10 more. Show mom how much you appreciate her love and hard work. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone in the top right corner, and type in the passcode SCORE. Hurry, offer ends this Thursday. That's berries.com, passcode SCORE.
I see you got your eye on this convertible. Just picture yourself in it. Top down, wind in your hair.
I'd love to own it, but my allergies wouldn't let me put the top down.
Really? You're going to let allergies stop you from driving your dream?
The power of Allegra. It relieves your toughest allergy symptoms. Only Allegra is both fast and non-drowsy.
Goodbye, symptoms. Hello, dream machine.
Allegra. Stop suffering. Start living.
Starts working in 1 hour among OTC-branded antihistamines. Relieves sneezing, itchy, runny nose, itchy, watery eyes, and itchy throat.
Some scattered showers and a few thunder showers linger across the area early on today, especially as we'll also see some partial sun developing with a high of 72 as winds stay to the southeast. We'll then head back to 51 tonight. Right now it's 63.
Back here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and of course we're talking soccer, we're talking track, we just had a little bit of hockey, but it's always time to talk about football here in the great state of Nebraska. And Doug, a big doings last night, fairly important event for the UNK football program.
Doesn't matter what show you listen to or what program you go to or which sport there is, everybody needs money, and when you go into the MIAA, there is only so much you can do about getting more scholarships. That jump from the RMAC to the MIAA really highlighted how much more help each individual program needs. And I don't think we're offending any other program when we say football needs the most money. They've got the most players, and they've got the most equipment, and football is very, very big. And our Loper Link today is brought to you by CharterWest National Bank. Kearney, you have the reasons. They have the loans. See Russ Smith today at CharterWest National Bank, and we are pleased to welcome in the head football coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, who we should never, ever let have a handheld microphone, Daryl Morris. Morning, Coach. See, he hung up.
See, there's your evidence right there.
Bang, got rid of him. But great attendance last night. Again, if you've ever been to any event there at the UNIS Convention Center, whether it's a banquet or a wedding, you kind of know what the room holds, and it was full again last night. And it takes a lot of work to put that on, and it's cool to see the actual football players that were there. Obviously, not all of them were there with school out. Some of them staying, some of them gone, but they were all there working on it last night. And this event has brought in over $100,000. In fact, last night, just the contributions when they said, hey, let's pay for a scholarship, $16,000 for one scholarship for one player. And I think they were able, on just a little Who Wants to Donate, had nothing to do with the live auction, silent auction, or anything else. I think they raised over $36,000 doing that. So they got to, and hopefully Daryl can tell us a little bit more about the numbers, but the generosity once again was there last night.
Well, absolutely. And Doug, I think Coach is having a little bit of trouble hearing you, so I'll relay some of the questions that you have and give the Reader's Digest condensed version of it. And Coach Morris, first of all, thanks so much for joining us today. Talk a little bit about the banquet and just the level of success, because $36,000 raised last night, is that number correct?
We probably, when it's all said and done, around $102,000, and that's not counting ticket sales and not counting the raffle part of the night. So, you know, it was a successful night for us. The give part, where we just asked people to donate money for a scholarship, was really close to $40,000, and, you know, that was a $10,000 increase over the year before. So we just couldn't be happier with the success of the event. It's a great event. The community came out strong, and we really appreciate everybody's support, not only those who donated items for our auction, but also just came out and enjoyed the evening.
I don't think he can hear you, Doug, but I can relay your question real quick if you want to ask it.
I was just going to say, how it's been only the fourth year, but how has he already seen things change with the banquet in just these 4 years?
Coach, it's the fourth year of the banquet. What's different between year one and where you're at right now?
Well, you know, the difference is that the banquet continues to grow every year. It continues to get better every year. But I think probably the biggest change we took on this year was the fact that we went with a technology company that allowed us to do all our bidding through smartphone or cell phone. And I think that did increase some of our auction item sales. It's probably the wave of the future of auctions, and I think we're probably going to continue to go that route. But it was very successful last night. I think everybody enjoyed it, created a lot of competition between bidders, and it was a lot of fun. People could bid from home, and I think it was very successful.
There's two different levels that you kind of look at of generosity here, the generosity of the people who attend and bid, and also those people who donate goods for you guys. Have you kind of gotten to the point where people are finding you for both wanting to donate to the program and also to go to this event?
Well, a little of both. You know, we had several people come up to us last night after the event to give us ideas about things that we could use or maybe get on the auction next year that they may be able to help us be able to acquire, or just had great ideas about it. So I think it's a little of each. People are coming out every year. I think they have a good time. They enjoy the dinner, and the way we did the auction this year with the technology allowed them to sit at their table, continue to visit with their friends, but also stay involved in the bidding.
Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. Daryl Morris with us on our Loper Link. Randy, could you ask him, okay, 4 years ago you didn't get $102,000. What do you do when you get this $102,000? How does the money get split up?
Coach, Doug's asking, you didn't get $102,000 the first year that this happened. Where does that $102,000 go now? What exactly do you earmark it for?
Driving force of our fundraising here at UNK for athletics in terms of football is that we're trying to raise scholarship money to get competitive in the MIAA. So every dollar of it that we acquired last night will be put into a student athlete in the future. And obviously, as I mentioned last night, you know, that's a bill you got to pay every year. But, you know, we've been successful. It has increased our competitiveness in terms of recruiting the last couple years since we started this fundraiser. And not only that, but the challenge that Brad Koenig issued to the community that we met. And if you were there last night, you learned a little bit about Brad Koenig giving us a $100,000 challenge. If we could raise $100,000, he would match that, and he did. So it was a big night for us all the way around.
Coach, there's so much in your job. You got the X's, O's, the recruiting, running the program, finding assistant coaches, all that. How much of what you do is tied up into fundraising, not necessarily just this activity, but other activities to kind of make sure that you have the tools, the scholarships necessary to build a good program in the MIAA?
It'd be more and more every year, and it's just part of the job. If you want to be successful, you have to, you know, you have to sell your story. You have to let people know what your situation is and ask them for help. And we have another fundraiser in Omaha tomorrow that's much like the one that we had last night in Kearney. We're trying to get the eastern part of the state involved in Loper Athletics, and we got a large contingent of people that played for us over the years that live in that area. So we'll be back at it again tomorrow. So I probably spend 75% of my time chasing the dollar anymore, and that's just part of it. And my kids deserve it. The guys that come here to play football deserve it, so that's what I do.
Do you really kind of see the eastern part of the state, those alums and that sort of thing? Is that kind of a real untapped resource for the program?
Very untapped resource. We need to get those people back and engaged in UNK, not only the institution and all the cool things that we're doing, but also just back into Loper Athletics and, in our case, football. So, you know, we do need to tap into that. We need to re-engage those individuals. A lot of them will tell you that I've never been asked to give anything. So we're going to go there and we're going to ask them.
All right, Daryl, appreciate the time. Best of luck to you in the future. I appreciate you joining us today and putting up with a little bit of technical problems that we had. Thanks, Coach.
It's great to be with you guys. Don't worry about it.
All right, thanks, Coach. That's Daryl Morris, the head football coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. A huge event last night, the Loper Backer Banquet, and always a great event. And there were some great prizes. Not prizes. You had to win the auction. But I just thought it was interesting that the autographed Muhammad Ali gloves went for less money than something autographed by Tim Tebow. That's the first thing that kind of comes to my mind.
Yeah, you saw the Buck Mahoney tweet too. I was sitting right next to him when that went down, and he turned and said that to me. And you know, I said it is amazing how many things. I imagine that there will be a cable television show sometime where somebody just goes around to fundraisers and buys things like this and turns it over for a profit sometime, because you know, if those are authentic and everything last night had the authenticity label or certificate, I mean, I can't imagine if you took those Muhammad Ali signed boxing gloves in this day and age where that just wouldn't seem to be available, and you got that in the right spot, you would think those would be worth thousands of dollars. And you never know. It just depends where you're at, what's going to bring more, what's not going to bring more. They had some Peyton Manning items there last night and a lot of cool stuff, you know, that you see on live auction, golf outings, resorts, a gun safe, very nice. I mean, they had some really cool things last night.
Yeah, the generosity of people donating and finding those sorts of things is incredible, and including folks like Peyton Manning. You know, if you have a charity organization, you know, football banquet, that sort of thing, those pro athletes are very, very receptive to doing that sort of thing. Not all of them, of course, but Peyton Manning has been very, very kind, and it's great to kind of see that. We kind of forget that sometimes about the pro athletes out there.
Well, let's talk about a couple of the other things that are going on with the Lopers. The golfers were in regionals this week. The women wrapped things up yesterday. Lopers had just one. They had an individual in Anna Summers, and she got better every day. She went 86, 84, 82 in St. Joseph, Missouri. She finishes in a tie for 28th, which will, of course, wrap up her season, but just a freshman, so that's pretty cool. Central Oklahoma, Augustana, and Northeastern State were the top three teams in the field to advance to the NCAA championships later this month in Florida. And then you take a look at what the men did. Such a great round on Monday, and then disappointing yesterday. They fired a 287 in this 20-team regional up in Wisconsin. The top five teams go to Hershey, Pennsylvania for the national tournament. The Lopers were tied for third after the opening day with a 287, but a 308 yesterday drops them all the way down to 13th. Freshman Michael Colgate is in a tie for 15th. He shot a 2 over par 73, leading the way, 10 under par through two rounds. 10 under. It's amazing. These kids could walk out and play probably on the nationwide tour at almost any time. There are so many good golfers in the world.
No doubt about it. And also, pretty good performance by the UNK track and field teams. The men finished fourth. The women were ninth at the MIAA Outdoor Championships, which was finishing up
in Hayes on Sunday. The first two races of the day had UNK winners as Ogallala senior Tanner Fruit won the 1500 meter and Norfolk sophomore Nick Knutson won the steeplechase. Britt Jensen was sixth in the steeplechase as well. In the men's 5000, UNK had three of the top eight finishers. Fruit was third. North Platte redshirt freshman Brian Hill was fourth. And Albion junior Kevin Carter finished eighth. And also on the track, Lincoln senior Paul Poppy fought his way through an injury. He finished third in the 800. Holdridge redshirt freshman Jared Shoneman was sixth. And Omaha senior Colton Ventiker finished seventh. And Lincoln senior Cornell Leffler finished eighth in the 400 meter finals. And in the field events, senior Marty Molina, a native of Kearney, was third in the triple jump with a jump of over 50 feet, just a quarter inch shy of his career best leap. And Kearney natives Josh Redman in the shot put and Ethan Epley in the high jump finished eighth in their respective jumps. Molina is now 10th nationally in the triple jump, and they're still qualifying for that national meet. Select Lopers will be at the Concordia Twilight Meet in Seward on Friday.
All right, that's our Loper Link brought to you by Russ Smith at Charterwest National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans, and for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons, they have the loans at Charterwest National Bank. Randy Bushcutter in studio, Doug Duda here with you at the D7 Track Meet, District Meet in Loup City. Coming up, we're going to take a look at state soccer. We'll talk with Mike Nanfino, head boys coach at Hastings High. They get ready for their match tomorrow. Grand Island already a winner today. We'll be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show in a moment.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill in Hastings. The sun is finally shining, the weather's straightening out, and we're celebrating with an all-new summer salads menu. We've traveled the world via the internet, tasting recipes from all corners, and now it's your turn to enjoy the new summer salad menu and 12 beers on tap, including the summer favorite, Leinenkugel's Summer Shandy, at HK Sports Bar and Grill.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, it's the Herd. Small business knows from experience that going to the post office is a waste of time, but leasing an expensive postage meter is out of the question. We know a better way. Stamps.com. It'll save you valuable time. Get 24/7 access to all the services of the post office, but do it from your desk. Whether you're sending envelopes, packages, priority, domestic, first class, international, get the postage you need using your own computer, printer, and stamps.com. Quick, easy, and really convenient. You'll never have to go to the post office again, so you can spend time on things that are more important, like growing your business. Right now, use my name, Colin, for a special offer. No risk trial. Plus a $110 bonus offer. Includes a digital scale and up to $55 of free postage. Don't wait. Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the mic, top of the home page, and type in Colin. That's Stamps.com. Enter Colin. Post office, waste of time. Use Stamps.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Some scattered showers and a few thunder showers linger across the area early on today, especially as we'll also see some partial sun developing with a high of 72 as winds stay to the southeast. We'll then head back to 51 tonight. Right now it's 63.
I
You know, I never did have a six string, so I guess I'm kind of left out of that. But Randy Bush got it here in studio. Doug Duda out in Loop City, the D7 district track meet going on. He'll have reports throughout the course of the day as we'll be covering the district track meets from around the area and some more state soccer for you. Grand Island won earlier today, 3-1. More than likely, they'll be taking on Creighton Prep in the next round because Prep is up now 4-1, about 10 minutes left to go in the first half. And so they're in pretty good shape is Creighton Prep in their quarterfinal match.
And of course, Kearney plays Millard West this afternoon at 3. We'll have updates for you on our afternoon sports. It's time for our Midtown Mark Cooler question. Yesterday, which local team has the best chance of winning a state soccer title? 46% of you went with the favorite, I'd have to say, in Grand Island. And then Kearney and the Hastings boys and Hastings girls were all pretty close together after that. Here's one that should get a lot of votes today. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question, you can vote on ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com. Of course, yesterday, Tommy Frazier was elected to the College Football Hall of Fame. Who do you think is the greatest quarterback in Nebraska football history? Eric Crouch, Tommy Frazier, Turner Gill, Jerry Taggi, or someone else? And I don't even say, I've always said Jeff Quinn is third, so I'm not even going to put that in there. But you can vote today at ESPNSuperstation.com. Randy, most of my life, I always voted for Turner Gill.
Yeah, me too.
And Tommy Frazier, just the more you see the highlights, and I guess after, and I think people know my view on Eric Crouch, I mean, when you watch them, you know they all had extreme talent. But I think it just flat out, it's the guy that was playing when you kind of got interested. Turner Gill would have been in my junior high and high school days, and I'm sure anybody after that, Tommy Frazier, and then it's Eric Crouch. And, I mean, the kids that are in school now, I mean, there's fans of Joe Gans. There's going to be Taylor Martinez fans because that's the guy that was playing when they were growing up or they were playing high school football or things like that. I don't know. I think Frazier and Gill are so close. But when you take a look at when we talked with Sipple yesterday from the Lincoln Journal Star, it wasn't that close. Tommy Frazier way at the top. And I don't know. Both of those teams, that run was incredible. And you look at what Frazier did as a four-year starter where he probably only played 3 years worth of games because of the blood clots and then starting midway through his freshman season.
Yeah, and that cost him some time, but I actually was there when he started his run at Missouri, and I won't bore you with the story with that right now. Maybe I'll bore you with it later. I think it is Frazier, and I'll say this, though. If that pass to Jeff Smith on the two-point conversion would have been completed for the 2 points and Nebraska won the national title, it'd be a lot closer, the vote between him and Turner Gill, in my mind anyway. I think Frazier is the best quarterback to ever run the option, which was the signature play for Nebraska football. I think he was better at that than anybody. And honestly, I think he threw the ball a little bit better than Turner Gill as well. So I'd have to give the edge to Tommy Frazier, but there's a lot of intangibles about Turner Gill that we really like as well.
Love them both. Both winners. That's all there was to it. State soccer tournament going on in Class A. Class B gets going tonight, and then they stagger it into tomorrow with more action. The girls, Class B, gets going tomorrow and even into Friday for Class B girls, Randy.
Yeah, absolutely. And joining us now is Hastings High soccer coach Mike Nanfito, and Mike's suffering from the same problem we had with Daryl Morris. He won't be able to hear you, Doug, but if you ask a question, I'll rely on to him. Mike, first of all, congratulations. You guys have kind of really made a habit of making it to the state soccer tournament. First of all, thanks for joining us, and you kind of got your program right where you want it to be.
Really enjoy being on your show this time of year. Yeah, you know, we're obviously very excited to be back in the state tournament. You know, the boys understand what this time of year means, and we try to get the work done during the season and playing a tough competition and a tough schedule to put ourselves in a good position going into the state tournament. We're excited to be heading down to Omaha tomorrow afternoon.
just ask Coach about his first round matchup, because Gretna is one of the powerhouses, obviously, in B.
Well, obviously, Coach, one of those programs that also you make a habit of making it to Omaha, but so does your opponent in the first round, Gretna. Give us a little scattering report on what the Dragons bring.
Yeah, no, overall a great team. You know, they come into this game 13-4. They're on a seven-game winning streak. They've done a great job this year of not allowing very many goals to be scored against them. So we've got a very tough task in playing Gretna in the first round, but I think we match up with them fairly well based on their team shape and how they like to play, you know, a possession-oriented style, but also they look to dump it into a young man up top for them that's pretty quick, that gives them the opportunity to get in behind behind their opponent's defense. So hopefully we can stay organized as a team, and if we stay organized and disciplined and make sure we communicate as an entire squad, we definitely have an opportunity to compete against them, and in the end hopefully we can score one or two goals and keep them off the board and give ourselves a chance to play on Saturday.
And obviously for Gretna, they got kind of a two-headed beast there. Travis Aga and Jacob Ridpath, they scored 13 and 12 goals respectively. Each have seven or five assists. How do you try to slow those two guys down? Because obviously if they have a quiet game, Gretna's going to have a quiet game.
Yeah, Aga, you're definitely not going to slow down. He's probably going to be the fastest kid on the field tomorrow night. And we just got to make sure we stay organized. Obviously, we're going to respect his speed, but we just need to make sure we know where he's at all the time and make sure we track his runs and really just try to make sure we put pressure on him. And then Ridpath, very technical player and overall probably one of the better kids that will be on the field technically. And we just got to make sure, if he's playing in the center midfield part of the field, or eventually if he goes up top, we just got to make sure we know where he's at. And, again, just overall stay organized.
Hastings boys soccer coach Mac Nanfito with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Randy, could you ask him, a lot of the regular season games had a lot of scoring both ways. That wasn't the case in the districts. What was different?
Coach, in the regular season, pretty high-scoring games that you guys played in, but obviously the districts were a lot closer. What was the difference in terms of the pace of the game and the reason for the scoring discrepancy?
Yeah, I think the scoring discrepancies, I think, is when, you get to district play, I think a lot of things start to tighten up. And, the competition that you play sometimes doesn't necessarily have anything to lose, but everything to gain. And, we definitely created a lot of opportunities in our district semifinal against Seward. We just didn't find the back of the net. And, we created some opportunities. We had 10 shots on goal against Crete in the district final and found the back of the net one time. We just got to continue to try to keep focusing on creating those opportunities, but also, doing our best to finish. And that's been one of our problems throughout the season this year, is our finishing, and especially in big games against quality opponents. And, come this week, we're going to be in big games playing quality opponents, and hopefully we're going to find a way to create opportunity to score, and we got to find the back of the net. We've got to score to win, and we know we have to make that happen.
Well, conversely, if Christian Lomax gets his fifth shutout of the year, you'll win there as well. Talk a little bit about his play. I mean, we all know that goaltenders don't get shutouts all by themselves, but talk a little bit about what you guys like to do defensively and the young men who are doing it for you.
Yeah, no, definitely. Christian's been big for us in the net this year. He's come up with a lot of big saves. He's kept us in a lot of big games. And overall, we've won some of those games and we've lost some of those games. And, for tying the record for most shootouts in a season with six in Class B, we're 3-3 in shootouts. And he's done a great job of providing us with some big saves in those shootouts. So he's definitely helped us out with some wins overall. And then really when it comes down to it, the four guys in front of him are back four. Two seniors, a junior, and a sophomore really try to help us keep things organized through communication. And, they've been big for us. And we're definitely going to have to ask them to have a big night come Thursday night, especially against the Dragons.
Do they feel like a decided underdog this time? They're usually the underdog going down.
Coach, do you feel like a decided underdog? I mean, it's a role that you've been in before down in Omaha. Do you really feel like a decided underdog against the Dragons?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I think we are the underdog. And, you know, I think people looking at it on paper really give us no chance. And I think we're okay with that. And, you know, the biggest success that we are looking forward to having come Thursday night is if we can go to Omaha and play well. You know, if we can play a quality opponent and come out and play well and do everything that we want to do and have success, you know, either way, win or lose, obviously we're going to think that it's going to be a successful situation. But again, in the end, if we can give ourselves the best opportunity to win and play successfully, I think in the end, come Thursday night, hopefully we can beat Gretna.
Coach, only have one question, one left for you. Haven't really asked you about Rudy Escobar. He's got 13 of your team's 36 goals on the year. Obviously, if he goes off, that's going to be good for you. Talk a little bit about his game and really how he's been so effective.
Yeah, you know, Rudy has definitely been an asset to us this season, and he's found great opportunities to score. He's found opportunities to get in behind the back line of other opponents' defense. He's found opportunities to take guys on 1v1 or 1v2, and he's created great scoring opportunities for us and obviously for himself. He's an all-around player. He's a great kid. Hopefully, in the end, come Thursday night, we can play through him in the attack. But also, you know, we also understand that, you know, towards the latter part of the season, a lot of teams were queuing off him and trying to make sure they shut him down. And I think he knows as an individual, every game from here on out, he's going to have a target on his back. And you know, he's going to have to step up to the challenge. So hopefully come Thursday night again, he'll step up to that challenge. We'll have opportunities to play through him, and he'll work hard to create those opportunities. And, you know, in the end, if he gives us an assist to somebody else or creates another scoring opportunity for somebody else, you know, that'll definitely be great for us.
Well, Mike, appreciate the time. That's and best of luck to you tomorrow night, 6 o'clock against Gretna.
All right, great, guys. I appreciate you having me again. Hopefully we can do this again sometime down the road.
Well, hopefully we have some semifinals that we get a preview for you as well.
It would be nice, wouldn't it?
All right, Mike, appreciate the time. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
That's Mike Nanfito, the head soccer coach for the Hastings High Boys. Again, they'll be taking on Gretna 6 o'clock on Thursday. Creighton Prep right now rolling in their game against Lincoln Pius the 10th. Grand Island already in the semifinals. And again, there'll be a lot of attention for Kearney High taking on Millard West, trying to avenge one of the two losses they've had on the year. That game will be 3 o'clock over in Creighton as well. And again, just a lot building up. We have a lot of other teams out there. The Holder Girls, they're 7-7. They're the 8th seed. They'll be taking on Scott on Friday. After that game will be Columbus Scotus and Hastings Girls. The Hastings Girls are 13-3 and still only the number 5 seed. And so the very balanced field for the Class B girls. And it would take a little lightning in the bottle for the Hastings boys to win tomorrow night against Gretna. But soccer's one of those games. If you just get that right opportunity, if you can get some good goaltending and get that right opportunity, you can pull the upset.
I'll tell you one thing, and Chris Pedroza, Hastings girls coach, will join us tomorrow on the show. But you have to look at that bracket. If you're Gretna, you're going, huh, Hastings, Lexington, and South Sioux City are on our side. We're going to the finals. I mean, if you are a Gretna Dragon fan, that has to be what you're expecting right now. If Hastings pulls the upset, they're going to have, many people would say, an easier contest in the semifinals when you have two non-traditional powers, and South Sioux has kind of started to escalate that. But you've got Scud on the other side and Columbus on the other side and Schuyler on the other side. Gretna, the prohibitive favorite on that side of the bracket, even though Lexington's 12-4 and is taking care of Hastings a couple of times. Let's see if somebody can sneak into that championship on Monday. A couple other things before we go to our final break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter. We will give you some of the field event results here from Loup City in our last break, and we will also take a look at the Hastings College softball as they get ready to head to the NAIA National Tournament. We'll do it after this.
Take us on the run, baby. Download the Android app from the Google Play Store and get connected with Central Nebraska's ESPN Superstation. No more post-sunset or pre-sunrise fade. We're loud and digitally clear. Log into the Google Play Store. Type in ESPN Superstation to find and download to your mobile. ESPN Superstation on your iPhone, too.
Need an excuse to give a Buffalo Wild Wings gift card? Here are a few of our favorites. Birthdays, half-birthdays, anniversaries, Labor Day, You're In Labor Day, Arbor Day, Dia de los Donuts, International Skeptics Day, Opposite Day, Dress Up Your Pet Day, Squirrel Appreciation Day, National Nothing Day, Holiday Party Day, Morning After the Holiday Party Day, Clean Your Refrigerator Day, Be Late for Something Day.
And don't forget about dads and grads. Right now, buy $30 in gift cards and get a $5 bonus. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. Valid in restaurant only for a limited time while supplies last.
Listen up, my friends. This commercial's got some real stopping power. This May, NAPA is offering up to a $50 mail-in rebate card with a purchase of qualifying brake products. NAPA brakes are built to the highest quality standards and designed to improve stopping in all conditions, so you can stop on a dime, rain or shine. So hurry, or should I say stop, into your local NAPA Auto Parts Store or Auto Care Center. Visit NAPA online for details. Offer expires 5/31/30.
Some scattered showers and a few thunder showers linger across the area early on today, especially as we'll also see some partial sun developing with a high of 72 as winds stay to the southeast. We'll then head back to 51 tonight. Right now it's 63.
All right, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever?
And we're back here on the Doug and Duddy Show. Doug out in Loop City bemoaning the number of rules that you got to follow if you're at a high school district track meet. You wanted to run around on the infield, didn't you?
Well, there's only some warning. Some districts, we've been doing this for enough time here, down on the infield, especially for the relays. And, of course, now that they've here at Loop City, and it'll be that way again tomorrow at Southern Valley, with the only field events going on, kind of all the fans can kind of go where they want. But then they want you out of the way and in the stands to watch the running events. So there you go. And speaking of running, Randy, constant running, better than starting and stopping. We've been telling you that about our friends at T&L Irrigation Systems. And again, driving up here today, seeing the T&Ls in the field, just waiting to get going if they need be. I mean, it's always great when Mother Nature takes care of things, but farmers know that Mother Nature is not reliable. And so they are there for you at T&L Irrigation. It's time to make the change to a hydrostatically powered T&L pivot from T&L for continuous movement, allowing even water distribution and less waste. For years of proven hydraulic technology you know and trust, and most importantly, to make life easier on you. No hassles, no more dangerous electricity, more production from your crops, no more time, money, or water to waste. The choice is simple with a hydrostatically powered pivot from T&L Irrigation Systems. Discover the difference. Visit your local T&L dealer, like right here in Loop City, or online at TLIRR.com. Hastings College softball team, well, I don't know. I thought the GPAC had a little bit more respect when it came to some sports, but softball and baseball I don't think are one of them, Randy, because Hastings winning the regular season GPAC, then they finish second in the tournament, but they break into 10 four-team regionals, I guess you will, and they'll go to Oklahoma City and play the fourth-ranked team in the country. Hastings is the number four seed in that four-team regional, wow. And they'll play the fourth-ranked team in Oklahoma City on Monday. Bellevue, Nebraska, and Freed Hardeman of Tennessee will also be there. Hastings 29-12, Oklahoma City 47-12.
Well, that's a pretty good resume for Hastings College, and they're not getting much love in terms of that seeding. When you're the number four seed, you got to take on the number four team in the country, and that's not easy doings. But again, you get to take care of your own business. If you're going to be in that region with them anyway, you're still going to have to beat them at some point. So you might as well beat them right out of the gate, I guess, and send them down to losers bracket.
Yeah, and with the young freshmen that they'll throw out there for. Coach and the Hastings Broncos, you'd never know, because there's going to be an upset. Usually when you throw number one, that can be the deal. Of course, in softball, you can throw number one just about every time. Yeah. A couple other notes. The volleyball team for the Huskers, they've picked up a commit out of Fort Madison, Iowa, but this isn't until the class of 2015. 6'3" middle blocker, Michaela Fokey, I hope I got that right. She had a state-high 624 kills during her sophomore season. Ooh. Last year.
Wow, that's impressive resume right there.
That's a pretty good get. Let's see, anything else that I may have looked over here. We do want to give you a few of the results here from the district track meet. Let me give you what we have. And again, the top two finishers move on to state in some of the field events. If you hit a certain qualifying point, you also get in there, but that's tough because what those numbers are the medalists from state last year. So if you could do good enough at the district to medal at state last year, then you automatically qualify. And then, of course, third place in the running events will go across the state for wild cards, and then same for second place in some of the relays. But they're winding down the field events here in the boys' pole vault. We have Hayden Geis of Elm Creek, your winner, 12 feet, quarter inch. Derek Ellis of Shelton finishes in second. So those two are headed to state. In the boys' discus today, it was Jake Bartling, outstanding athlete out of Elm Creek, 160 feet and 5 inches. And then Ryan Mosier of Twin Loop, 155 and 4, good enough for second. And in the Class D discus, you needed to go over 145, so no extra qualifiers in that event. In the girls' shot put, Pleasanton had the top three coming in, and they have the top three today, led by Taylor Nichols, going a 36 feet and a quarter of an inch. And going along with her will be Mariah Zwiener, 33.6 and a quarter. Mallory Pates went 33.4, so she will be left at home by just a little over 2 inches. In the boys' triple jump, maybe a little bit of a surprise here, Jack Gibbons of Twin Loop wins it, 42.7 and a half. Riley Lambrick of Loop City, the favorite, he still goes at 42.2 and a half inches. Braden Eckout just misses out by finishing in third. Girls long jump, Tristan Trampy of Amherst, 16.7 and three quarters, and that was a tiebreak winner over Alexis Sock of SEM, who went the same distance. And as we look at the girls long jump, there is an extra qualifier. Macy Sock of SEM will also go, as she goes 16.3 and 16.2 is what you had to get to go to state automatically. So congratulations there. Boys high jump, Dominic Abbott of Amherst wins it at 6.2. Cody Harnage of Elm Creek goes at 5.10. He tied with Brady Rasmussen of Loop City, but his first miss was earlier in the round, so Cody Harnage of Elm Creek wins. And in the girls' pole vault, only three participants. Cassie Sutherland of Elm Creek goes 9 feet, 4.5 inches to win it. Delaney Zastro of Elm Creek will also go to state, finishing in second. That's where we're at right now.
And you're going to have updates throughout the course of the day on Classic Hits 98.9 FM. And Mike Wills over in Kennesaw for the D5 district meet. He'll have coverage on KHAS 1230. And tomorrow, you'll also be in Southern Valley doing the same thing on Classic Hits. And the C19 at Sandy Creek will be covered on KHAS tomorrow as well. So a lot of folks making it into the state meet in the next couple of days, and a lot of coverage on our network of stations.
That's what we got, and looks like we've hit the final minute of our program. I did have one other thing here. The All Big Ten softball team came out today. Nebraska's Tatum and Taylor Edwards were both named to the first team. Tatum Edwards named the Big Ten Pitcher of the Year. And on the all-defensive team, Taylor Edwards, Gabby Banda, and Alicia Armstrong, the Huskers had three make it on the all-defensive team. Nebraska hosting the Big Ten Tournament beginning tomorrow. The Huskers' first game is Friday night. So we want to thank Mike Nanfito, Hastings boys soccer coach. We want to thank Daryl Morris, UNK football coach. Josh Howgie, Tri-City Storm coach, for joining us on the show today. Tomorrow, Minnesota baseball, big series with the Huskers this weekend. They lead the conference. Coach John Anderson is with us, plus Chris Pedroza, Hastings College soccer. Andy.
Hey, good to talk to you, Doug. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Sounds good, buddy.
All right, thanks for joining us. This has been the Doug and Daddy Show here on the ESPN Superstation. We'll be back at it again tomorrow morning at 11. Hope to see you right then and there.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.